You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's be honest. How blessed are we that we live in a tri-state area where we don't have just one, but two NBA teams that are in the postseason? So this show is for you. It will be wall-to-wall NBA talk, pretty much. We'll sprinkle in a little NFL, Giants with a little scandal hovering over their facility over there in East Rutherford. You've got a tour championship, PGA Tour championship, that's taking place right now, and Phil Mickelson, unbelievable, at the top of the leaderboard at 5 under. And of course, you've got the Yankees and the Mets that are going to be at it this afternoon. Yankees first pitches at 1 o'clock against the White Sox. Garrett Cole, hopefully, helping them to win 5 straight. And then little later on this afternoon at 4 o'clock, the Mets and the Marlins go at it as well. So, but let's dive into it. I mean, there's so many directions, and I was talking with Ty and Michael before we started the show. There's so many angles we can go here, but let's start here because I find this very interesting. And I know this has been a really big topic here on 98.7 ESPN and in all the airwaves in New York. And that is, you know, you've got a Knicks team, and I've said this before, the beautiful thing about sport and watching sport and cheering and being a fan of a sport and a team and an organization is the way that it makes you feel when a team wins, or how horrible it makes you feel when a team loses, right? And you know, and I don't have a dog in this fight. It's a horrible way to phrase it, but that is right. That is a phrase that we use here in our country. I root for both the Knicks and the Nets to win. I'm thrilled that both these teams are in the postseason. I'm going to be rooting for both these teams. But when I watch them, like when I'm going to watch the Nets later on tonight at 8 o'clock, I'm going to be rooting for them. For me, in my head, I've already got money down that they're going to win the championship. They are my team. If they don't win the championship, something's gone foul. Something's gone wrong. They have compiled three of the best players. You can argue three of the top 10 players in the NBA that are on one roster. Granted, this will be later on tonight. This will be the second time that these three gentlemen will have graced the court since February 15th. This will be the 9th overall team that these three gentlemen will grace the court together. I still got them winning the championship. Okay? So for me, it's Nets, championship or bust. Anything less than a championship, season was a disaster. In my opinion. 800-919-3776. Curious to hear yours. When it comes to the Knicks, I'll be watching them tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I'll guarantee you that I'm going to have more fun. It's going to be more enjoyable. I'm going to be more into it. Why? Because nobody expected the Knicks to be here. Nobody. At best, they'd be lucky to be a part of that play-in tournament. How interesting, how funny, how hilarious that the Lakers had to be a part of the play-in tournament as opposed to the Knicks, who not only made it to the postseason, but are hosting the first round against the Atlanta Hawks. That's just, somebody pinch me. That's just ridiculous. So, again, the viewing experience and the excitement for me is, I know myself. I'm gonna have more fun watching the Knicks hopefully win the first game against the Hawks tomorrow night. But with that being said, that's where my personal experience is. But I know the talk of New York City has been, even though the Nets are they're favored to win the championship, 2-1. 2-1. They are favored to win the championship. They couldn't sell out their first series. Meanwhile, the Knicks, they sold out within minutes, seconds. I would love to know how much it would, you know, how much are these tickets going for on in the black market to get in. The Garden is expected to have 13,000 fans tomorrow night. 13,000. It's going to be rocking. It's let's be honest, this is an experience, this is a time, this is a feeling that Knicks fans haven't had in a while. And I'm going to go one step further here, and that is, and ESPN, I know, again, I was talking with our producer, Ty, and Michael before I came on. ESPN's got an article out. What did you guys say? 15 of the 18 NBA analysts that were polled. What was the number?
Yeah, so of the 18, quote-unquote, experts who were polled for their predictions for the first-round playoff matchups, 15 of them went with the Knicks.
Interesting, because the Brainiacs up in Bristol, you know, the guys that went out to the Ivy League and, you know, they're, you know, the Mensa and the analytics guys who create the BPI, okay? They have, there's an interesting article out on ESPN.com in regard to the BPI percentage probability of upset in the seeding. The number one, and I know you're not going to like hearing this, Ty, because I know you're a big Lakers fan. The number one is the Suns upsetting the Lakers.
Yeah, not
The BPI is 61%. It's the largest percentage of probability of upset of all the first round matchups is the Suns beating the Lakers. You know what the second one is? It's the Knicks and the Hawks. The Hawks, a 58% shot of upsetting the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs.
See, I don't understand that.
I personally don't. I don't see it. I don't. Just for the record, I don't see it, right?
No, I don't understand. Like, I can see the Hawks winning the series, but I don't know that that's all that big of an upset. These teams are evenly matched. They have the same record. I get that the Knicks won the season series, but injuries played a factor. I don't think that's a big upset.
But here's the thing. That's not what they're calculating. They're not calculating how big of an upset it is. They're calculating the probability of the upset, not the magnitude of the upset.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't technically view that as an upset to begin with. Like, that's at a zero on the upset meter for me.
Well, the reason it's an upset is because the Knicks are favored. The odds makers, what makes it an upset is because the odds makers in Vegas have made Knicks the favored to win the series. So that's why it's being, quote unquote, called an upset. I hear what you're saying. These teams are extremely evenly matched, right? Knicks are coming in. They've won. They're 10-14, their last 14 games coming in. Atlanta's 10-5 coming in, their last 15 games coming in. Ever since Trae Young has come back, the Atlanta Hawks have really done extremely well on the offensive side of the ball. You could look at all the stats. I mean, one could say, and you know, in another article I was reading, it was ranking the players that are going to be taking the court for the Hawks compared to the players that are going to be taking the court for the Knicks and what their ranking is in the grand scheme of the NBA. And the Knicks have, the Hawks have a more impressive roster in that regard. When you're doing all this, you know, this deep dive into the statistics and the rankings and all that. Yeah, Ty, you're absolutely right. Would you consider this an upset because these teams are so evenly matched? Probably not. But again, it's not equating the magnitude of it, quote unquote, being an upset. It's equating the probability of it being a quote unquote upset at 58%. And again, I don't see it. The Knicks having one of the best defenses in the NBA, only allowing teams to average 105 points. They're number one in regard to their opponents, limiting them to their shooting percentage at 44%. They're number one in the NBA in limiting their opponents to three-point shot percentage at 34%. Thibodeau, I mean, do we even need to take a vote? Coach of the year, he's got these guys playing 110% each and every time they take the court. There's not one game that I can say, and again, I haven't watched them all, obviously, but I'm sure that there's Knicks fans out there that have, that you can say that this team didn't come in and really give it a valiant effort. And a lot of that is because Tibbs has these guys ready. There's so many things to dive in here in regard to this Knicks matchup, but I want to open up the phone lines because again, I had to go to T-Mobile yesterday. My phone wasn't getting, I switched phones. This is a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But anyway, I went back to my Samsung because I tried to give iPhone another try and I can't. I've been to the dark side twice. I can't. So anyway, my story here is that I was stuck in T-Mobile for a good 2.5 hours yesterday. And within those 2.5 hours, I'd say that there was at least 15 people who walked in wearing Knicks garb. So this show is really for you. 800-919-3776. This show, this whole weekend, all of next, this, as long as the Knicks are relevant, as long as the Knicks are active and attractive, as I like to call it, we want to give you a platform, Knicks fans, to call in. And again, there's this is an onion. There's so many layers here. There's so many topics we can dive into. And the ones that I've touched on so far in the open of the show, and that is, I understand that this article on ESPN has 15 of their 18 NBA analysts saying that the Knicks are going to win, but here you've got the Brainiacs up in Bristol that are saying 58% chance that the Hawks win the series. Also, a number of people that I've spoken to who are diehard Knicks fans are really concerned about the series. Are you, as a Knicks fan, how concerned on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you? Do you think the Knicks, even though they've got home court advantage, and let's be honest, the Garden is going to be rocking now that it's in the postseason, NBA allowing 50% of their fans back. Talk about home court advantage, and especially for a fan base that's just been deprived for so many years. You've got to add that into the equation. I'm sorry, you do. I know it's not going to be a packed house, but it's going to be rocking. And this is something, keep in mind, this is something that these NBA players have not had to deal with for a while now. You know, they've been playing in stadiums that, or not stadiums, but arenas that, what, 5, 10%, 13%, something like that in regard to attendance. This is a whole nother animal. And to come into the Garden, I think that has to be a part of the analytics here. I think that has to be a part of the equation. I've got the Knicks winning the series. I've got the Knicks winning this first game, and they're favored by one. It's one of my favorite bets. I've got some prop bets as well that I'm going to share with you. And also, you know, another thing for Nets fans out there, why aren't you selling out your this, not only is this a Nets team that's expected to just destroy Boston, let's be honest, with Jaylen Brown out, good luck with that. Tatum going to score 50 points every game? Hell no. Why aren't you selling out your stadium? Why aren't you selling out your arena? You're expected not only just to destroy Boston, but you're expected to win the championship, and you can't sell out your arena. What's up with that, Boston? I want to know. I mean, what's up with that, Brooklyn? I want to know.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Brainiacs up in Bristol say that there's a 58% chance the Hawks pull the upset. Again, I'm not listening to them. I like the Knicks. First round, first game, minus 1.5, over under at 215. I'm staying away from the over under, but I do like the Knicks minus 1.5. You get that at minus 112. There's some other prop bets in this that I do like. We'll get into that as well a little bit later on the show, but let's get to your calls. 800-919-3776. Let's start off with JP in Brooklyn. JP, what you got?
Anita.
Hi.
How you doing, beautiful? Anita, have you noticed that, you know, have I been bugging you? Have
no,
I been calling you?
I haven't heard from you in a while, so.
Exactly. That's by design, Anita. That's by design.
You know, is it really?
The New York teams. Yes, it's by design. Mm-hmm. The New York teams have hurt me too much. Too much. Okay. It's either they win a championship for us, or it's bust. It's a bust. All of the New York teams, especially the New York Knicks, especially them, it's right now or nothing. Brooklyn, right now or nothing. I don't have emotions to talk about the Knicks anymore. They hurt me too much. If they lose tonight...
But what, JP? What do you mean they've hurt you too much? They have far exceeded expectation this season. How have you been hurt from the Knicks? I don't understand.
Are you serious, Anita? You know how many years you can, Anita? I've been a Knicks fan since '70. When I was in my mother's womb in '72, I heard about the Knicks. Okay, I've been waiting for a championship since 1972. No, Anita.
I understand. Here's the thing, JP. Thanks for the
break.
JP.
Don't.
Thanks for the phone call. I listen. Here's the thing, and I've used this analogy before. Okay, and I get it. We as human beings, we walk around this earth with baggage, right? Whether it's going into a new job, going into in the best example is going into a new relationship. We walk around with baggage. And I totally understand why Knicks fans like JP have baggage. Team's been a disaster, let's be honest, for over a decade. A complete disaster. I get it. But I feel like this is different. I feel like this season has been different. I feel that, Thibodeau and this organization and the players like Julius Randle and Bullock and Derrick Rose coming back and RJ Barrett, and I feel like this team is different. And so it's kind of like, you know, maybe you've had a few really horrible relationships, but then all of a sudden you meet this fantastic human being. You don't want to bring that baggage. You don't want to bring that garbage into this season. I know it's hard, but it seems like JP's not able to do it. But you should be able to do it, because what's happening is JP, you're hurting yourself in that you can't embrace this moment and you can't embrace the minute little nuances of just how successful this season has been. And so you're depriving yourself of the enjoyment and the excitement of what this team has been able to accomplish this season, because you're walking around with that baggage. And I'm not, I hear you, and my heart goes out to you, and I totally understand. I get it. But you're missing out, dude. You're missing out.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, a few things. Number one, Nets fans, we need you. Or they need you. The 2021 NBA playoffs are back in Brooklyn, and tickets for round one are still on sale now. Make sure you're at the Barclays Center to see the Brooklyn Nets take on the Boston Celtics. Visit brooklynnets.com to purchase your tickets today. Keep it locked into 98.7 ESPN on Monday. The Michael K Show will give away a pair of Brooklyn Nets Boston Celtics tickets for game two. So make sure you do that. Also, there is a major happening right now as we speak. I've got it on here, my home office. 98.7 ESPN's leaderboard brought to you by Meiomi Wines. Meiomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour. Enjoy the taste of Meiomi Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, or Rosé at home. Order online and get home delivery through Drizzly today. How nice is that? Enjoy. Please enjoy the wines responsibly. Meiomi Wines, Ocampo, California. So let me go to the PGA Championship leaderboard. This has been an insane, insane tournament the first 2 days. And, of course, today is day three. Louis O, as well as Phil Mickelson, at the top of the leaderboard at 5-under. They both tee off around 2:40 this afternoon. Winds not expected to be too bad today. Yesterday was just a monster. Winds were howling around 25 miles per hour around noon, 1 o'clock yesterday. Winds not expected to reach over 15 miles per hour today. So, I think we'll see better scores today than we did yesterday. Brooks Koepka, third at 4-under. And then you've got Decky coming off the last major he played that he won, the Masters. Now he's tied for fourth. Heading into Saturday, he tees off at 2:20 this afternoon. I like Brandon Grace here. He tees off at 2:30. He's 3-under. He's just two shots back. Keep an eye on him. I put some money on him earlier this morning, just FYI. Paul Casey's 2-under. M is 2-under. Corey Connors is 2-under, but he shot a 75 yesterday. No bueno. Gary Woodland looks like he's got his game on point. He's 2-under. He's just a few shots back. And Bryson DeChambeau, I was watching, he just arrived to Kiawa. And he tees off around 1:10, so in just about 15 minutes, and he is 1-under. Keep an eye on him as well, because now that the winds are down, chances are he'll be more accurate off the tee, and this is the longest course on tour. And so if you can grip it and rip it, which we all know that Bryson DeChambeau can do, chances are he's going to be at the top of the leaderboard if he doesn't wet the bed today. In other areas of his game, heading into Sunday. And just a reminder, on the tee, Anita Marks, my show, golf show, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., getting you ready for the final round of the PGA Championship. So make sure you tune into that as well. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Sam in Rockland. Sam, you're up.
Hey, Anita, two thoughts regarding the Nets and Knicks. If these rosters were switched, I think the narrative in the media would be different. People would be more supportive of the Knicks, even if the players took off here and there. Second, Kyrie, he's been getting a lot of hatred. You know, it's his right. He hit the game-winning shot in Cleveland. not LeBron, and he has the, you know, freedom to say what he wants. If he wants to hit big shots in the big games and come up big, he's been playing better now than he's ever been in his career. Same with Harden. Durant's been playing the same, but these big three are the big three for a reason, but not the average three. They've proven over their careers what they can do, and it's not their fault. They didn't break any rules. They got into the Nets for freedom to play the way they want to play, not the way the Knicks play, which is rugged, but not the biggest chance to win a championship. Let me put it that way. Thanks for his call.
You got it. You got it. Listen, when you look at the makeup of the Knicks and their style and their identity compared to the Nets, night and day, totally different. Totally agree with you. But Nets have not sold. I mean, this, they're granted, it's the first round, and the Boston Celtics are injury riddled. No Jaylen Brown. I think that's going to be a really big hit to them. I think it's a lot of pressure on Tatum coming into this match. I mean, I would be surprised if Boston gets swept. But, you know, even if that was the narrative for the Knicks, I think the Knicks would still sell out. But keep in mind, I don't think anyone would argue that the Knicks are this city's team. The Knicks rule this town. There's no denying that. But I find it somewhat fascinating because the Nets are favored to win this whole damn thing. When you sit down, you really think about it. It's a really fascinating dynamic, in regard to, again, the identity of both these organizations, the expectation for both these organizations, and where each fan base is right now. Let's go to Chris. Chris, welcome in.
Anita, how is it going? This isn't as difficult as you think it is, Anita. Look, JP from Brooklyn, diehard Knicks fan. I mean, let's just put it this way. Ty, he roots for the Nets because he likes KD. There aren't Nets fans, period. Nets fans live in New Jersey, and the real Nets fans were mad when they moved to Brooklyn. There's really not Nets fans around in New York because, you know, they moved into New York to try to take New York away from the Knicks. Knicks fans didn't appreciate that. The only people that go to Nets games are people like me, Knicks fans that can't get Knicks tickets. And before KD got there, I used to go all the time and root for them. But now, when I get out of work today, when the tickets get to maybe like $50, if they allow me to go, I mean, I might mess around and go watch the game. I'm not going to be rooting for the Nets, but those are the people that go to Nets games. There are Nets fans in the city. They are a bandwagon team. They're like a second team for other people, but they're not anyone's team. People root for KD and Kyrie. They don't root for the Nets. That's just really what it is.
Yeah, I hear you, and it's a great point, Chris. Appreciate your call, 800-919-3776. I get it. Let's go to Alan in Brooklyn. Alan, you're up.
Hey, Anita, I love the show.
Thank you.
Hi, I wanted to ask, who do you think the Knicks going to sign this offseason, and who do you think is not going to be on the team next year? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, Alan, thanks for the call. I'm going to bring Ty in for this, because first things first, Ty, I mean, what free agents are available next year? Is it going to be an exciting summer, an exciting off season? I don't know. I will say this in talking, and we've had a number of analysts who've been on the show, and Ian Begley, who was on last week, who I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. And the success that we've seen from this Knicks team and how this season has played out definitely has given this Knicks team and this Knicks organization a lot more swag and a lot more desirability around the league with players that are going to be free agents. But do you, offhand, do you know some of the big names that are going to be available this offseason?
Next year is going to be much more lucrative, but this offseason, you know, Kawhi Leonard can opt out of his contract with the Clippers, but I guess the anticipation is that he's not going to leave LA, barring something unforeseen. But you got Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. So it's not like a star-studded free agent class. But then you get to 2022, and now we're talking about Harden and Westbrook and Durant and Curry and CP3, Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. 2022 is really the season a lot of people are gearing toward as far as adding like these big names via free agency.
Got it. Rick, Eli, I see you guys will be first up. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. That's how you pop on board. We get back, I will share with you some of the prop bets that I like. I mentioned just a few in regard to the Knicks game. There's quite a few that I like later on tonight with the Nets, as well as keep in mind, 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Heat going up against the Bucks, 4:30, the Mavs against the Clippers, and 10:30 later on late tonight is the Trailblazers going up against the Nuggets.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, if you feel that the Nets are going to win the championship, you could also wager on who's going to win the MVP in that championship series. KD is favored, by the way, at plus 420. I like Harden at 13 to 1. Put a little money on Harden 13 to 1. And put it on him now if you're confident that the Nets are going to make it to the championship, let alone win the championship. Because, you know, those odds obviously are going to change as we get closer to the championship. Again, just to recap, Nets, I like Nets -8. I like the over at 229.5. I love Harden over 9.5 assists. I'm also over Kyrie 3s at 2.5. I like KD over points at 25.5. Probably one of my favorite bets is Kemba Walker over 24.5 points. And Tatum over 30.5. All right, I want to share with you before we get back to the calls, and Roderick, you are first up, 800-919-3776. Some other games that we know are going on today and some bets and prop bets that I like. The Heat going up against the Bucks. I do like the Heat's getting 4.5 in this matchup and some of the prop bets that I'm playing. I love Giannis under 29.5 points. Bam is one of the very few players in the NBA defensively that can match up with Giannis. So I like under 29.5 points. And when Giannis goes up against the Heat, he only averages about 21.5 points. It's probably one of my favorite prop bets out there today. Giannis under 29.5 points against the Heat. I also like Butler. I think he's going to turn it on today. Over points, assists, and rebound combined at 39.5. And I also like Middleton over points at 20.5. So those are my three prop bets, by the way, for the Heat and the Bucks. Again, I like the Bucks getting the points, 4.5. You get them at +5 in some places. Get on it. And again, Giannis under points, Butler over points, assists and rebounds combined, Middleton over points. Those are my three prop bets for that first game. And I've got more I will share with you throughout the show. You'll have all of them by 2:30 this afternoon. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Roderick. Roderick, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. How are you?
Great.
I'm really enjoying your show today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciate what you said to a few callers ago in regards to he sounds like a disgruntled Knicks fan. And you just was very gracious with him. And he mentioned that he was in his mother's womb in 1972. And so I just want to speak to him for a minute. I'll be very brief. In 1972, I became a Knicks fan. I was about maybe 13 or so. And if you remember, well, I don't know, maybe you don't remember exactly, but the Knicks lost in 1972. But they said, hey, wait till next year. And they won in 1973. And I felt like they won for me. And so to that caller, I just want to say, listen, don't be a Knicks whisperer, okay? Because I've been there. It's been a lot of years. I am right now, Anita, I am over the moon. Like you said, I didn't see this coming. I'm so excited. So I'm just enjoying. I don't care nothing about the Nets. You know, most Knicks fans don't care nothing about the Nets. You know, I mean, I'm enjoying this. And I am so excited. I'm walking on air. I got on my Oakley jersey right now. I got on my Oakley jersey. So, you know, I'm it's lovely. It's lovely. So thank you so much. And let's go Knicks.
Let's go Knicks. Roderick, great call. Great call. Appreciate that call as well. Leave that baggage at the door. Leave that baggage at the door. Let's go to Alan in New Jersey. Alan, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, Anita. Thanks. Listen, I'm a longtime Nets fan. I'm a Jersey kid. Grew up from the town right next to Kyrie. We had some good early years in the 2000s, and then we had some not so great years. Sat through 12-70 in 2009. Saw my team leave the state. Still follow them. And I hate to even have to make this call, but I'm just getting sick and tired of hearing pathetic Knicks fans calling up the radio, talking about our attendance, saying we have no fans. I don't know about you. I really only care about winning. If you look at playoff wins since 2001, Nets have 53, Knicks have 7. So I don't know if they're insecure. I don't know what it is. But all I know is I want Knicks fans. I'm going to leave you with this, Anita. I want Knicks fans to enjoy their first-round playoff exit this year, while I'll hopefully be enjoying a playoff championship at 27. And to be honest, I think most Knicks fans probably will never see a championship in their lifetime. Just getting sick and tired of it, but let's go Nets. I'm pumped, ready for it.
You got it. Great call, Alan. Great call. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Carl in Queens. Carl, you're up.
How are you doing, Anita?
Great.
I know Mark Berman is your friend or whatever you like him, but I think he done lost his mind. You know, it's one thing for him to say, oh, okay, I think Atlanta going to win the series. But to not even give them game one at a nearly packed Madison Square Garden, and you gave them a lot of intangibles about the Knicks, about defending the three-point line, number one in defense. He's in the locker room with these guys all the time. He see how hard they work. And it boggles my mind how he just dismissed all that. And I want to go to a comment Tyronn Lue made a couple of weeks ago when the Knicks beat the Clippers. He said the Knicks' physicality wore his team down, wore them down, and these are the Clippers. And Tyronn Lue looked at that firsthand and see how that was with the Knicks. Tell me what you think about that.
I feel like Mark Berman is getting destroyed here for his analysis, To say that Mark Berman and I are friends, I've known him in regard to, you know, being in this market. I'm not defending my friend, but it's really important. I understand Knicks fans are you know, disappointed or upset that he's picking Atlanta not only to win the series but to win this first game. But it's his professionalism, and this is his analysis. This is what he's supposed to come to the table with. Reminds me of that. Ty, Michael, are you guys big Chris Rock fans? Do you guys watch Chris Rock stand-up comedy at all? You guys there? Bueller? Anyone?
Sorry, we're taking calls.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a good thing. So Chris Rock has that one skit, right? Like, you're supposed to pay your bills. You're supposed to pay your child support. You're supposed to. As somebody in the media who covers a team, whether it's you're a beat reporter or, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a columnist, you're supposed to have an opinion based on your research and your analysis, not your heart. So just go easy on Mark Berman, please. Go easy on him.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com and by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. Joe, welcome in. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hi, Anita. I'm listening to your show and listening to Dave earlier this morning, and I've been busy all morning listening to ESPN Radio.
There you go. And here you are.
Here I am.
Here you are. All right. Let's dive into, first and foremost, as we know, the Nets, they play later on tonight, 8 o'clock against Boston. Nets are favored by 8. The over-under is at 229, I think, 228.5 or something like that right now. I know it's been fluctuating. Do you have a play in this matchup tonight?
Well, when you take a look at it here, I think that this is perhaps the most important game of the year that the Nets are playing. This is what they played for all season long to get to the playoffs. They got all three of their guys in the lineup. No excuses. I'm expecting a blowout. I very rarely play favorites. I'm expecting a lopsided scoring affair. The Nets beat the Celtics in all three games this year, and never did they have all three guys in the lineup. Today they do, and the Celtics overachieved the last game when they played. But overall, I think that this is going to be a lopsided scoring affair. Nets send a statement to New York. Play Brooklyn minus the 8.
Yeah, I like Brooklyn minus the 8 as well. Some prop bets I shared earlier. I like Kyrie over 3s at 2.5. Katie over 25.5 points. And probably my favorite prop bet is Harden over 9.5 assists. That's how I'm playing.
Yeah, it's interesting, Anita, because Irving loves playing against, his Celtics team as well. He's averaging 30 points per game. And I just don't think the Celtics will have any answers. Tatum had to score 50 points in his last game here. Nets, the only weakness I see for them, Anita, is their defense. They're ranked 22nd in the league, but I don't think it's going to be a problem against the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm with you. Before we jump into some of the other games later on this afternoon, let's stay in New York and let's talk about the Knicks. They're favored by 1. The over-under is at 215. Not surprising because they've been holding opponents to 105 points a game. I like the Knicks here. I'm on the Knicks. There's a lot of people who feel that the Hawks are just going to be too much and the Hawks are going to win the series. I'm on the Knicks. I think the Knicks win game 1. I think having 15, I had Mark Berman from the New York Post on earlier. He said that now we're looking at 15,000 fans at the Garden tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I think that's going to be a really big key because a lot of these players haven't been used to be playing around fans in arenas, let alone that size and that magnitude and the Garden. So I like the Knicks winning game 1. What's your play in this one?
Yeah, the line's just about a pick 'em. I heard you earlier talking about, some Knicks fans being a little concerned about this series. And I have to admit, I'm one of the avid Knicks fans that is concerned. I think that the offensive challenges that the Hawks bring to the table here are going to cause problems. The Knicks certainly don't want to get into a shootout with Atlanta, even though they've won all three games this year, 113, 108, 123, 112, and in overtime, 137, 127. I like the Knicks in game 1. I'm seeing the series go in 7, though.
You see the going the distance, but you think that the Hawks are going to win the series?
I'm going to go with the Knicks to win the series, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think. Obviously, this line, the spread's right where it is. Some people are picking, the Knicks in 6 games. The offensive challenges here, I know the Knicks, when they score, I have a stat here, when the Knicks score 113 or more points, they're 20-2. But the Knicks don't want to get into an offensive shootout with Atlanta because Atlanta certainly has the edge on the offense. Knicks have to play that hardcore Thibodeau defense and try and win in their trenches. But when these three teams, when they met all 3 games this year, very high-scoring affairs, I don't like the high-scoring affairs for the Knicks. I'd rather see them play low-scoring and win on a defensive edge here. Normally, defense stops a good offense here, but I think it's going to be a very tight series. It's going to Game 7 in the Garden.
Some prop bets that I like in this matchup. I like Julius Randle over 26.5 points, Bullock over 13.5 points. Those are the two prop bets that I'm playing in the Knicks game. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was saying, how could you not like Julius Randle, Anita, in the 3 games against the Hawks? The first game, January 4th, 28 points. February 15th, 44 points. And on April 21st, 40 points. I love your bet. I love when you do these prop bets because I don't have to do any research. I'm just taking your picks and running to the bank. That's a lot of work. I'm sorry. Those prop bets,
I woke up at like 3:30 this morning and I spent like a good 2 hours from 3:30 to 5:30 this morning doing a deep dive into a lot of these prop bets. By the way, Knicks, you could bet that they're going to win the series at plus 100. Also, I'm one of those very, few who think that the Knicks are going to win this in 6. So the Knicks win this 4-2, the series 4-2. Get that at +550. And taking a look, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, he's got his own gambling show here on Friday night and Saturday morning here on 98.7 ESPN. And looking at some of the other games, and one that's going to tip off in just a few minutes is the Heat and the Bucks. I like the Heat here. The Heat are getting 4.5, getting 5 in some places. Do you have a play in this matchup?
Yeah, the total's 4.5. So, I mean, the line's 4.5, some 5. The total's at 227. Both of these teams like to score, and I don't trust the Bucks as a favorite. They're just 32-40 against the spread. And, you know, Milwaukee Bucks owner Mark Lazare, you know, you and I were on here last week, and we were talking about Milwaukee. I got that bad ticket. I had Miami -3. Then the Bucks became a 4-point favorite. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair here. I think Miami's going to come out and want to send a statement. I lean towards the over in this game, over 227. And I certainly wouldn't lay the points here because Lazare's given the Heat all the incentive they need. And they got the job done last year, and maybe they'll get it done again this year.
Later on this afternoon, the Mavs and the Clippers. I like the Mavs getting the points at +5.5. I even like them on the money line. They're 2-1 in the regular season. They're 18th in 3-point shooting, and with Porzingis healthy, I like the Mavs in this matchup. What's your play?
Boy, when you look at it here, I mean, talk about laying down. The Clippers certainly wanted to play the Dallas Mavericks without actually coming out and saying it, losing to the Houston Rockets and Oak City the final two games of the regular season. You know, when you look at it here, Dallas is getting 5, the total's at 219. In game one, I think the Clippers are healthy. They finally got their stuff back. They remind me a little bit of the Nets with their back playing healthy. I'm laying the points in this game here. Anita, again, a rare favorite in game one. I like the Clippers against the Mavs in game one. This is the matchup they wanted, and they're going to get it in L.A.
Prop bet that I like is Luka over points, assists, and rebounds at 44.5. And last but not least, tonight, you've got the Trailblazers going up against the Nuggets. I like the Trailblazers here getting the one. I also like them winning the series at -127. What's your play later on tonight?
When you look at it here, you have the two best offenses in the NBA, two of the league's best players, and Nikola Jokic and Damian Lillard. You know, Denver won the season series 2-1, but, you know, last game didn't really count because Denver really didn't show up in that game. They were getting 9.5. That line really was that was a fake line. Portland won that game 132-116 here. You know, Portland's won 9 of the last 11. They're one of the few teams in the NBA to have a winning record on the road. Blazers have more talent. I don't know if Jokic can carry this team. If Jamal Murray was healthy and in the lineup, that'd be a different story. Portland wins the series.
Last one for you, NBA wise, just out of curiosity, the Brainiacs up in Bristol, Connecticut have the BPI for the upset, the highest for the Suns to upset the Lakers in this first series at 61%. You could get the Suns winning the series at +140. Who do you have winning the Lakers Suns series?
Yeah, it's the first time we've seen a 7 seed favored over a 2 seed in the series. And the Lakers are very fragile. I mean, look at LeBron. You know, I don't know if he was faking those injuries or what he was doing on the court. But be that as it may, I look at this game here. Phoenix has the second best spread record in the NBA behind our New York Knicks team. Phoenix is 41-28-3 against the spread. They're a small favorite here. I like Phoenix to win this game. I like them to win this series. Sorry, Ty. I like Phoenix to win this series. And let me tell you something. If AD or LeBron gets hurt, and it's very possible, either they haven't been playing well, they haven't played much at all in the lineup the last 2 months. If either one of them get hurt, all of a sudden, this will be a lopsided affair. So even with that, you got to look ahead in your bet. But I like Phoenix as a dog to win the series as well.
All right, we're leading into the Islanders-Penguins game here on 98.7 ESPN. Any play in that hockey matchup?
I'll tell you, Anita, when you take a look at it, the over has gone over 6 of the last 7 meetings in Uniondale. And if it's any resemblance of what happened in Game 3, 5-4, 9 goals were scored in this game here. I think the Islanders rebound here. They just got to figure out a way to hold the lead here. And if they just come off that, they can get away from that emotional letdown they had. They kept trailing, then they took the lead, and they gave it up. I like the over in this game here, and I'm looking for the Islanders to tie up the series.
Sounds great. Joe, thank you. Always great to have you on. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thank you very much. Go Knicks.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.